Meow, 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 meow. Meow! Meow, 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 meow. This is Freedom Fiends. I am Mr. Derek J. Here to melt your medulla oblongata with molecular morsels of munchy mechanizations. Maybe my mouth must move more mobly, or maybe my mom made marmalade magpies. Either way, I'm here to inoculate you from indoctrination, broadcasting live and worldwide from the LRN.FM studios in Keene, New Hampshire, the Liberty Media capital of the world. Here to help me warm your synapses this morning will soon be Dan Green of the Greening Out podcast. I'm not quite sure if he's safe yet. I always ask my co-hosts, you safe? Have you been contacted by the government? Well, in this case, we don't know where Dan is, and he just might be a victim of the government. I don't want to put too many rumors out there. But, of course, you can check out Dan's writing at greeningoutpodcast.co.uk. I was checking it out earlier. It's a fascinating article about Morrissey, the singer from the Smiths, demanding that his venues not have meat. What a strange demand. We'll get into music talk, freedom talk with our libertarian friend from across the pond, Dan Green, who is, of course, Scottish and has a lovely accent. It's so unpopular to be a libertarian there and in lots of other places. Like, people think it's unpopular to be a libertarian in the U.S., but there are some candidates who will run as Republicans and even call themselves libertarian. There are talk show hosts who claim to be libertarian. They're not, of course. They want to control you. They want the government to lay its heavy hand of power down on people for whatever social reasons or economic reasons. They're not strict libertarians, but that's okay. Because Dan Green actually is a libertarian, it's all right for him to be completely alone in that Scottish land. So tonight, I want to tell you a little bit about Liberty Forum. I just came back from the New Hampshire Liberty Forum in Manchester, New Hampshire, a three-day event that went over the weekend, which had folks from all over the world. I'm not sure anyone who was from another country. I know there must have been some. There's always a handful. But it was mostly people around the U.S. I got to see Lynn Ulbricht, who is the mother of Ross Ulbricht, the famous alleged operator of the Silk Road Black Marketplace. She's doing well, and we're still awaiting the sentencing of Ross Ulbricht, which should be happening imminently. There were speeches. It was sort of a, you know, it's a convention, so it takes place in a hotel. Most of the event centered around the hotel. Some people left for meals and things. But it was a great opportunity to meet other people who are interested in freedom-minded stuff. There were things that I really didn't expect, even a defense of statism. I thought it was like an anarchist convention, like there were going to be people who all completely reject the state. But then, of course, there were speeches by people like Sheriff Mack, who's super cool. Sheriff Richard Mack, I think he's out of Arizona, who had written some book, and he was talking about how sheriffs could really bring freedom back to the country if sheriffs are willing to stand up and oppose the federal government. That would be cool. It just takes a few people to lead by example. Then there was also a speech by a man from the Atlas Foundation. You know, Atlas as in Atlas Shrugged. They're a bunch of Ayn Rand-worshipping think tank groupies. And he was making a defense for the state. It was one of the most unpopular, I mean, well, it was popular in terms of attendance, but he really got, he had a lot of difficult questions asked of him while at the conference. And it sounds like we might be joined by Dan Green, who is joining us from across the pond. Dan, are you with us? Well, until we make sure that he is, in fact, with us, I'll just let you know the New Hampshire Liberty Forum, you can get all the pictures and schedule of events if you're curious about that. If you missed it this year, it's not too late to check it out next year. It's an annual event, and there's another awesome event called Pork Fest, which is like the Liberty Forum, which happens in the summer every last week of June. So nhlibertyforum.com is the website. Super cool. I got to meet some of the Liberty talkers, like Scott Horton of Anti-War Radio, who gave an amazing presentation catching everyone up on what's going on in the Middle East. It could be so confusing to read between the lines of what's in the newspaper pages and on TV screens regarding the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I can't figure out what's going on with these groups of ISIS. I don't really know who to trust because the people on the mainstream TV haven't proven themselves to be reliable. Of course, the big joke about Brian Williams and his stretching the truth doesn't help but feed into that. So the Liberty Forum was cool. There were also vendors as well as speakers. It was an agorist event. Some people participating in voluntary interactions, business interactions without the consent of the state. That's always cool to see. Even children vending. And I know some of the freedom lovers at Liberty Forum like to put that child labor thing on its head by employing young people. And the young people actually love it. They ask if they can work. This year, I heard a story from a vendor, Davi Barker, one of the co-hosts of this program, Freedom Fiends, who employed some child labor this year because the children were asking if they could work for him. And so it was a mutually beneficial arrangement. He got more time out on the floor mingling with people he wants to chat with. The kids got to make a few bucks peddling some shiny badges, as he peddles himself at shinybadges.com. And that was very cool. So that was part of the vending area. There was also some big name speakers like Jeffrey Tucker, who was very generous with his time. He joined several podcasts, both Free Talk Live and the Rebel Love Show, some independent podcasts in the New Hampshire area like School Sucks. And there was a speaker named Patrick Byrne, who is the CEO of Overstock.com and one of the first 1,000 or so companies that accepted the new alternative currency, Bitcoin. And he's really an industry leader, leading the way in companies accepting Bitcoin, because it's my understanding that he not only accepts it as payment and converts that over to dollars so that he can pay his vendors and keep his business operating, pay his employees and so on, but he also retains some of that money, some of the Bitcoin that he receives, in the hopes that he can one day soon acquire new merchandise with Bitcoin, and he can close off that dollar loop altogether so that he could not just have to convert currency, he could actually keep it all in Bitcoin, and that would be really cool. So Patrick Byrne spoke. Unfortunately, Ben Swan, who's an awesome journalist, was delayed. His flight was canceled due to weather, and that's something that's going to happen with a winter event, but hopefully he'll be able to join us during Pork Fest this upcoming fall. So that's really fun, and I look forward to Liberty Forum every year. It's one of the premier events of the Free State Project, the idea of that group being to move 20,000 liberty-loving individuals to the same geographic location to get active for freedom. And that was really cool to see all the different people and what they're doing. My favorite is media projects, people who are producing podcasts or video shows on YouTube or even movies. There was a screening of the movie 101, Reasons Liberty Lives in New Hampshire, which I think is a free movie you can watch online. My movie, Victimless Crime Spree, is also free and centers around a lot of the same themes, but this really tells this. I mean, mine was an individual story of a person who moves to New Hampshire. This is really 101 Reasons, which is a list that was formed years ago to inspire people to move to New Hampshire. All compiled together in one 90-minute film. Just very powerful to be able to watch that, meet the directors, talk with the people who have moved for freedom. And it's working out great. So the Freedom project in New Hampshire is underway, and in a lot of ways, it hasn't even really begun, because 1,000 wave of movers. But the way it works is 20,000 people are supposed to pledge to move when that 20,000 number is reached, and that hasn't been reached yet. Right now, they're only at like 16,000 something. So there are still 4,000 signers away before anyone's even supposed to move. So it'll be curious to see what happens when that number is hit. I actually don't care that much. I wish they would just, you know, snap their fingers and write up a bunch of fake names and allow any person to be a part of the Free State Project, you know, fake or not. Sign up your dog. Who cares? You know, get that number reached and then just start moving. Why wait?
Yeah.
Oh, hey.
Can you hear us?
The Central Scrutinizer.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you, and I hear
Dan. I've been interrupting
Dan
for like 5 minutes. Did you have us muted? Who's quiet?
I am. Dan, as in me.
Central Scrutinizer, you're quiet.
Yeah, well, you can turn us up. We're all the way up. Dan's a little loud. Okay,
I'm a little
loud. I will turn up, and we can turn Dan down. Yeah, we've been chiming in here for like 5 minutes. Derek is so good at filibustering to fill when there's a problem on radio. And I just jumped on. I don't think you guys need me. Here's what happened. America has daylight savings time. Scotland's is different and starts on a different day. So, Dan, we forgot to tell Dan. It's our fault. We forgot
I'm so sorry.
Dan.
I forgot to tell Dan.
What time is it there now? 5-something?
Yeah, it's just after 5. That's why I thought it was 6, because the last few live shows have been 6 a.m. my time. And yeah. Then when I said to Derek, I emailed Derek, and I said, so we're on in about an hour, right? And he was like, no, 6 minutes. And then suddenly I was in a wild panic, like, no, no.
Well, note to self.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you on now, Dan. And sorry about, I muted you guys before. Well, we'll get it all worked out.
Right.
We gotta take a break. Take a trip to the free market. See a Central Scrutinizer.
I was just here to make sure if you needed somebody. Take care. Have a good show.
Cheers. And cheers to you.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Meow, meow.
Meow, meow,
meow. Meow,
meow.
Meow,
meow.
Meow.
Worms.
Meow.
All right, that's some good meowing. That's good enough. Welcome back. This is Freedom
Fiends. I'm only learning, man.
Huh?
I'm only learning.
You're learning.
I've not got my meowing up to standard yet.
Just a baby kitty fiend. So, Dan, we don't know each other. A gay guy and a Scottish guy walk into a bar. And here we are, learning. It's like a blind date. So, tell me a bit about yourself. What do I need to know about you?
Well, I think a lot of people know by now that I do the Greening Out podcast with my wife Katie in Scotland. As far as we're aware, we're the only libertarian podcast in Scotland. As far as we're aware, there's only kind of sort of one in England as well, so it's not a big thing over here.
Do you think you're also the only Scottish or British libertarians also?
No, there is quite a few of us. We are a sort of rare breed. I mean, there's a think tank called the Libertarian Alliance, who I'm actually going to be on live with at 8 o'clock this evening, and it's 5 o'clock this morning just now, so that's going to be fun.
Is it an alliance of two people, or is there more?
No, there's more, but it's... a lot of Americans might find some of the people that are in the Libertarian Alliance's stance on libertarianism to be quite interesting and quite different from theirs. I would, you know, like on their website, some stuff is quite Rothbardian and anarcho-capitalist, but then some of it is, I would say, almost quite sort of classical liberal and quite minarchist. So they're quite a broad church, the Libertarian Alliance here, because there's so few of us. Anyone who kind of calls himself a libertarian, you know, sort of gets to be in the club, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah, they'd have principles, but they'd be too lonely. So they open up their tent. That sounds nice.
It was described to me as, like, I never think of myself as part of any kind of movement anyway, but it was described to me as barely a circle, you know, as opposed to a movement in the UK. But,
wait,
you know,
what kind of circle?
People coming around. Like, libertarianism, like, it was said to me it couldn't be described as being a movement because it's far too small in the UK. You know, it could be described as being a circle at best.
Yeah. know?
But it's, I think it's gaining more popularity now as, you know, people look at the mainstream parties here and realise that it's all the same nonsense. And I think it will gain ground here. It's just, it's a matter of give it time, you know, because classical liberal ideas, which, as we know, modern libertarianism has grown out of, were very, very prevalent here for a long time, and it was just in the early sort of 20th century that they gave way to sort of social liberal ideas, and now we've got the kind of mess we're in with, like, our massive welfare state and stuff. But I think if you give it time, the sort of classical liberal or libertarian ideas will come back into, they'll come back into fashion. I think it's starting to happen already.
Well, you're bringing it into fashion. What about Attack the System? Is that yours? AttackTheSystem.com?
Oh, yeah, we're co-editors there. That's from Keith Preston.
Yeah, you had an article over there about Morrissey. Yeah. What did you say about Keith Preston?
Oh, yeah, Keith Preston, he runs Attack the System. He's the editor. We've had him on a number of times. He's written a few books, and he's got a philosophy of pan-anarchism, and he's a very fascinating guy.
What's that?
He's a wealth of knowledge. Pan-anarchism, so it's kind of, and this isn't, Keith would be pleased with my oversimplification, but he talks about how, you know, for example, we don't have, all our anarchists don't have to fight with each other. You know, you could have your stateless world where you have maybe your anarcho-communists over here and your anarcho-capitalists over there and your anarcho-syndicalists over there, and everyone has their own little bit. But that's a massive oversimplification. But, like, he basically wants to unite a lot of the different sort of anarchist tendencies and bring them together. Because he said, you know, basically as soon as he started learning about anarchism, he learned there was an anarcho this, an anarcho that, and an anarcho the next thing. And he thought, why are we all fighting against each other? Why
because they're all wrong.
Because we all agree. This.
No, they're all wrong, except for one.
Well, Katie did say to me one time, don't you think that the people on the left would kind of, for example, the anarcho-communists would kind of force it on the rest of us anyway, or attempt to? I don't know, but that's what Katie's theory is.
Well, they can try, but they're not going to succeed. Yeah, it's weird, because at AttackTheSystem.com, I'm seeing, like, Rothbard, and then two pictures away, it's Emma Goldman. Now, I know they're both anarchists, but they're both very different types of anarchists. And so anyway, I just think that's interesting. And then below is an article titled Morrissey, Government, and a Craving for Power. First of all, I want to know, are you a fan of Morrissey? Are you a music guy?
I am. I'm a big, big music guy. I preferred him his work more with the Smiths, but I like some of his solo stuff too.
Yeah, I dig the Smiths. Hey, when we come back, I want to know why you hate Morrissey.
I wouldn't go that far.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Meow, meow. Meow, meow. Meow, meow. Meow, meow. Meow, meow.
making my dog uncomfortable.
Meow.
Meow, meow.
This is Freedom Fiends. Welcome back to the incredible blind date between the ocean. It's Derek J and Dan Green, and we're feeling each other out, getting to know each other a little bit over the airwaves here, and it's been fun. I'm learning a little bit about Dan and his passion for music and freedom in Scotland, and I want to know more about that. You wrote this interesting article about Morrissey and some of his statey demands, so what was that about?
Yeah, it wasn't one of my longer ones. It was one of those just kind of I'm annoyed about something and I'm going to write about it right now sort of things. And basically what it is Morrissey cancelled a gig in Iceland because he's doing like a tour and he's made the same demands. He's playing in Glasgow. We're not going to see him for this reason because he demands, because he's a vegetarian, that all meat and fish be banned and all the, not be banned, but be not in any of the venues he's playing in while he's playing in them.
Now, what is his rationale about that? Like, what's his reasoning?
Well, it's this whole sort of famous guy thing of, well, I'm rich, I can tell people what to do. Kind of, I don't know. I think it's doesn't want to be around it, so he doesn't think that anyone else should be around it. But see the venue in Glasgow. It's massive. It's huge. It's an arena. If you think of me away up the back having a burger and he's up on the stage, he wouldn't even know. You know what I mean? There's no way he would even know that I'm eating that burger. But it just, what it did was it sort of made me think of, you get a lot of people sort of on the left. I know on the left is a kind of broad term, but you know the kind of people and the kind of nanny staters, and they just want to ban things because they don't like them. And that's what I find a lot as well sometimes with conservatives. They just want to ban things because they don't like them. And it just annoys me because that's such a Morrissey, like banning meat and, you know, and a venue is just like a mini version of these other things we have here, the ridiculous things like the smoking ban, you know, which totally strips anyone of their property rights, because surely you can't tell someone what to do in their own property, you know. It should be up to the person that owns it. And that got me kind of annoyed about Morrissey, the fact that just because he has this passionate belief, he feels he needs to push it on everyone else.
Do you feel like it's an unfortunate lens that you look through, in that you can see that I don't want to say the word tyranny, but there's like people who love government control everywhere, even among your favorite pop stars. Like you said, you like Morrissey, but it's so annoying when they're like, oh, and also no freedom for my audience members. Like, you can't have any burgers. Like, what? I mean,
yeah, I want to tell you.
So annoying.
It's like, I want to tell you what to do while you're watching me perform sort of thing. But I just think it's a symptom because I'm not totally sure, but as far as I understand it, Morrissey's quite on the left. Our Prime Minister, David Cameron, is a conservative. Supposedly, they call themselves conservatives, but, you know, not really. But and I remember he'd said before that someone asked him, like, who's your favourite bands? And he said he likes the Smiths. And I remember in Morrissey and Johnny Marr, who was the guitar player in the Smiths, who's actually come out with some good solo stuff recently, I will say.
Cool.
They actually wrote like a letter to a newspaper angry about this because of their hatred of conservatives. So I think they are quite left-leaning sort of guys, if you know what I mean. And for me, it just seemed like a small version of this wider thing with, you know, certain people on the left who are particularly left, like sort of status communists or status socialists, if you want to put it that way. As opposed to the anarcho version, who just want to control the minutia of your lives. And it just seemed like just a small version of that to me, and that got me kind of annoyed because I see it all the time. More and more things are being banned here. They're even talking about banning e-cigarettes here in certain places. Which
Why?
Is just because
for
they
the
say
children,
it's untested.
You know, yeah. Stick with those cigarettes.
It's one of the two, isn't it?
They've been tested plenty.
Well, actually, what's interesting is Katie, my wife who I do my show with, she works in pharmacy, and she's noticed that the National Health Service, our blessed socialist healthcare system, runs hand in hand with a sort of gum company.
Really?
I won't say the name, but they're like, yeah, they're like a nicotine gum company, you know, one of these replacement therapy companies.
Yeah.
So then when e-cigarettes came on the rise, they suddenly said, oh yes, now in NHS grounds, we're going to talk about banning e-cigarettes. So it seems like because the government and the National Health Service have got this deal going on with this company for, you know, nicotine replacement gum and patches, they don't want people using vape pens or e-cigarettes or anything like that because that's not in the plan. So they're talking about banning them in certain places. So we're back to this banning stuff, you know, for their own benefit.
Man, that's so crazy. It's so crazy to me also that people still believe that the government would be a good solution for banning things, making things better. Like, there was this one pop singer, Lady Gaga, in the U.S., and she went on a big rant of a couple of years ago about bullying and about how bullying needs to stop, and she's so anti-bullying. And so she went to President Obama to his White House dinner to go speak and ask him to do something about bullying. And I'm like, I don't think you go to the biggest bully in the world to ask them to stop bullying people and you know, look for a solution from them. Yeah. You know, these are the people who are the ones inflicting drama and trauma on people. So yeah, I just think it's crazy. I don't expect our pop stars to be the most enlightened about politics, but I would hope that Morrissey and who was the other singer, Johnny Marr, would be you know, pissed off about any politician endorsing them, not just one from the right or left, but like, ew, I don't want a politician's blessing. You can take that back. They're just trying to look cool.
Oh no, absolutely, you know, and it is you know, it is creepy. I mean, who would want to have a politician's blessing in any way? I mean, I think me and Michael were Michael Dean were talking recently about like how anyone sort of like they sort of lose their credibility, any sort of musician, as soon as they start endorsing politicians. It's just breaks your heart a little bit sometimes when you see musicians you like endorsing politicians, you know. But I don't know, it's just, we never seem to have really good sort of musicians who come out as anarchists, like, a lot of the time, do we? You know, it happens, you know, maybe every now and then, but it's usually someone obscure.
Well, what about Muse? See, like, they're pretty big. They seem to be anarchists.
Do you think so?
Yeah. I mean, their latest album, gosh, I don't know the title of it offhand, but yeah, Muse to me seems like the biggest mainstream anarchist band. I'm just,
why did they seem anarchist to you?
I'll have to pull up some of their lyrics over the next segment, but you know, I just listening to their music, I think they talk a little bit about personal freedom and the victory of the individual over the collective, you know, the importance of, yeah. I don't have any specific examples offhand, but I'll pull a few up for you. But on the topic of who was it, rock stars not wanting to be endorsed by politicians, I thought U2 was another one of those examples where some politician somewhere was like, oh yeah, U2 is one of my favorite bands, and U2 was like, take that back, we don't want to be endorsed by you. I think that's a powerful message, like, you know, pop stars are bigger heroes than politicians, as they should be. Mm-hmm. And if they would get into some sort of like conflict, I think that would be better than them all like agreeing and being happy and going to dinners together. I would like to see pop stars and politicians vying for popularity more and not cooperating.
Well, the thing is, that kind of happened a bit under the Tony Blair government here, because you had like sort of things going on, like, you know, the whole Britpop thing, it was going on. You'd bands like, big bands like Oasis, you know, and bands like Blur and that going to, you know, Downing Street, which is the Prime Minister's house here, you know, and they were all getting photographed and all this kind of thing. And now the next thing I've read, this was like maybe 10 years ago or more, and now you've got like guys like, you know, Noel Gallagher from Oasis, who was there, you know, with Tony Blair and the Labour Party. You know, he actually was quoted in an interview in the Telegraph saying, what are the Labour Party effing for? I'll let you fill in the blanks there. So it shows you that even he's saying, like, there's no one. Basically, he's come out, like, so in his early days, he was happy to court the Prime Minister and all that and be photographed at Downing Street. But now in this recent article that came out, he's even saying, this is Noel Gallagher I'm talking about from Oasis, he's even saying there's no point and voting for any serious candidate. Like, he's talking about voting for whatever joke candidate shows up in his constituency, because we've got a thing in Britain about joke candidates. They come up all the time. And he's talking about that because he said, basically, I mean, the Labour Party, who were supposed to be, you know, it's the usual sort of socialist thing, you know, they're supposed to be about the poor, and then it really comes out they're all about themselves, you know, like we saw in Russia and everywhere else, you know, it's all this in Cuba and everything, it's all the same sort of nonsense. And it's interesting that we kind of see that sort of thing. But, like, so even now you've got these guys who were courting politicians just going, nah, man, there's no one to vote for anymore. They're all the same.
Yeah, speaking of joke candidates, there was one at the New Hampshire Liberty Forum, like I was speaking about before, a man who's running for president. Have you heard of Vermin Supreme?
No.
He is a fake politician from New Hampshire who actually runs. I mean, he's a real candidate, but a fake politician, if that makes any sense. He wears a boot on his head and has a big scraggly beard like Santa Claus, and he runs on a pretty strange platform of clean teeth and zombie powered energy and a free pony for everyone. It's a great platform, very unique, sets himself apart from the other candidates, and has the opportunity to make a joke about the whole, like, I think he's making a joke. I would see it as art in lots of other ways, but yeah, Vermin Supreme. I mean, even in the name, he's saying, like, the politician is the king rat.
Yeah, I can see what you mean, yeah.
I would want him to win president, but even if he doesn't, it's fun to watch fake candidates like that do their art up around the other politicians who are taking themselves too seriously.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Squiskar Squig Elves from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech as hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
So before we get back into the gritty musicians versus politicians debate, I just want to get to know you a little bit better. So I'm going to play a couple of this or that questions. So, okay. Dan, are you ready?
I'm excited now.
This or that.
Ready? I am ready.
Okay, broccoli or Brussels sprouts?
I've got to say I've got a thing for Brussels sprouts, man.
Okay. Pizza?
I like Brussels sprouts.
Okay, you don't have to justify your answer. Just give me an answer. Pizza or ice cream?
Pizza.
Lord of the Rings or Star Wars?
Neither.
Wow. Liquor or beer?
Liquor.
All right. Okay, you win. I don't know what you win, but we'll figure it out. We'll get it to you right away. So, all right. Back to... I am actually a little bit curious why you said neither Lord of the Rings nor Star Wars. Why no answer on that?
It's just that neither's really interested me. I mean, I read a bit of The Hobbit once, but that was kind of it. It's just neither sort of ever interested me. I've never really watched any of the films. I've never really read the Lord of the Rings books. I have friends who were really into it and stuff. And a lot of the bands I like Led Zeppelin and things, were really heavily influenced by that kind of stuff. But it just, yeah. I was just never interested in it for whatever reason.
Do you think you have a shorter attention span than is required to enjoy a movie like Star Wars or Lord of the Rings?
No, I don't, because I do like long movies and I do like challenging films, But it's just that it's, I don't know, it's just see the sort of, even the kind of fantasy genre, I was never that into it. I mean... And then in terms of the sci-fi genre, I kind of like the sort of classic dystopian stuff, like Philip K. Dick and George Orwell and that kind of stuff.
Nice.
Did
you
enjoy that kind of sci-fi?
What about A Scanner Darkly? Did you check that out? Did you like that Philip K. Dick movie?
Actually, I haven't seen the movie because I have the book, and I was actually going to start reading that this week, funnily enough.
Yeah.
I haven't actually seen the movie because I want to read the book first.
Oh, check it out.
Although there's some... Sometimes that kind of works in reverse because I didn't like Blade Runner so much because I'd already read the book Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, which is the sort of basis of Blade Runner, obviously. And it's so different. There's all these different elements that aren't in Blade Runner, and the story's kind of different. I can obviously see why, for cinematic purposes, why you would do that. But it's just that because, I've read the book, it's always that thing. Usually, the film can never live up to the book, usually, no matter what it is. I think it's too hard.
No, it's because the theater is in your mind when you read a book, and your brain can produce much better, I don't know. It can bring you there, it can take you there a lot better than any film can, at least for now. So, all right, I think that's cool. I think that's rad. You're into Philip K. Dick and those types of movies. I wasn't trying to insult your intelligence by saying you don't have the attention span for those long movies.
No, I did not think that.
I don't have the attention span for Lord of the Rings or Star Wars. I always have to take a break and do an intermission when I'm watching one of those movies. Because, I hear you. Sci-fi and stuff, I tend not get into it, but Philip K. Dick is that nice mix of sci-fi and weird that keeps my interest. I like the weird stuff.
It's such a big, even his personal life as well, all the weird stuff about how he claimed that he saw a pink light and things like that, and it was conscious and stuff, and he did a lot of mind-bending drugs and stuff, so even his personal life was quite fascinating too.
Well, that's rad. Speaking of artists, we had our Fiends crack research team investigate our claims made over the airwaves just minutes ago. And turns out we were right that Matthew Bellamy, singer for Muse, describes himself as a, quote, left-leaning libertarian. So he does wear the small L libertarian title.
Yes.
And what do you think about that?
Pity about the left-leaning part, but I don't think of myself particularly as right-leaning, but we know what left-leaning means,
Yeah, what does that mean? I want to get into that a little bit and read a couple of quotes from Muse's songs. He's got one. He said he was heavily influenced by the book Confessions of an Economic Hitman by John Perkins. And helped him inspire and write the song Uprising. So we'll hear some quotes from that. I know, that was an inspiring book for me, too. You must have read it.
I haven't actually read the book, I've just seen a documentary related to it.
yeah, but basically, it was this guy's job to go around to other countries and take down dictatorships if the CIA didn't like it.
Yeah.
John Perkins.
It was called, was it called The Shock Doctrine, the documentary about it?
Yeah, it's Naomi Wolf.
Mentioned that, I think it was.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Okay, man.
Meow, meow.
Meow, meow.
Mr. Dan Green of the Greening Out Podcast, greeningoutpodcast.co.uk, Mr. Derek J, here in New Hampshire, broadcasting Freedom Fiends. And I want to talk about what happened during the first segment a little bit. We got confused because our governments, or the governments that rule over us, decided that they play a trick with the clocks once or twice a year called daylight saving. And how does that all work? What happened?
Well, what happened this morning was I thought I had like sort of an hour and 10 minutes. So I had all my gear set up and that. I thought plenty of time because I've been doing the live shows and they've been on at 6 a.m. my time. And then my phone went and I kind of got an email from you saying you can connect whenever. And I was kind of thinking, well, I've got plenty of time. And I was like, we've got an hour, haven't we? And you were like, we've got 6 minutes. And then I was in just such a panic. I was in like, oh my God, what was going on? I had no idea what was happening. And then eventually we figured out that because our daylight savings time doesn't start till the 29th, so I had no idea that it already started for you.
So yours hasn't started yet?
Nope, doesn't start till the 29th. For some reason.
Well, who the heck planned that?
I've got no idea. Doesn't make any sense.
Do all countries have their own? They just decide they don't cooperate with each other and decide. Why do we do this anyway? Why change the clocks? Have you ever tried to resist it? And just said, nope, I'm coming into work an hour late. I don't care if you change your clocks.
I've heard weird theories like pertaining specifically to Scotland because it gets really dark really early here. For example, in the winter, it will be pitch black by 5 o'clock in the evening, completely pitch black. And it will stay that way until, like, you know, way into the morning.
How depressing.
Oh, yeah, well, that's where you get that thing sad. I think it's a seasonal affective or associative disorder, something like that, where because people are going to work in the dark and coming home in the dark, they get kind of, it has an effect on their mental shift. But some people have said that we have it for reasons of, like, school kids and that, so they're not going to school in the dark and stuff. That's the only rationale I've heard for that. But, you know, that doesn't seem to play with me. I don't understand that as being a perfectly good reason as to why we have this big shift and as to why it's so different, like, across the world like this. You know, it just seems pointless, to be honest. You're just playing with time almost.
Yeah, it seems if there ever was a point, it's been lost now. Like, it's not relevant anymore. It's just some tradition that's being carried on for no good reason. I don't see a good reason to keep it up. I always like it when we switch back to the original time. I don't know. Today it was sunny out in the evening. I was like, hooray, thank goodness, it's sunny, finally. Why couldn't we have this the whole time? You know, why did we adjust away from the sun? I don't know. It just seems stupid. I don't need to do it. I want to go to internet time. That'll be easier.
It would be easier. And then I know there's some places in the States, like, I know Arizona doesn't have it at all for some reason.
Yeah. But
the states around it do, you know, and I don't even understand why that's the case, you know, like, whose decision that was.
Yeah. Do you know about internet time? Is that a real thing?
I thought, well, explain to me what you think internet time is.
Well, there's two different definitions of, like, I think time, like, things moving faster and faster. It's like one definition. But I mean, like, an international internet time. Like, someone should set...
I thought you might mean...
Yeah, someone should set the time for... And I'm sure this already exists, but wherever the most population-dense zone or cliff... called those little slivers of the earth, whatever is the most population dense, that should be the one where we go off of their time, and we just abandon whatever the time is in Scotland and America, whatever, say it's Beijing, we just go off of Beijing time. That's considered internet time, it's international time, and no one has to deal with these clocks or daylight savings or anything anymore.
It's an interesting idea, isn't it? And you know, you is that not kind of how we got on to using numbers? Because as I understand, the numbers that we use just now are Arabic numbers. And the kind of idea was that people could trade all over the world if they had the same numbers. So that's why the numbers that we all use are so popular just now, because they realised through trade that if we universalised the numbers in this kind of way, because now you had Roman numerals and things... the reason why we sort of went to the Arabic numbers was because it was a more universal language. It made trade easier among people. Free market.
Yeah, thank you, market. You know, another thing I heard about the market developing some innovations making life easier. Now, again, this is sort of playing with... this is the opposite of what I wanted, but when trains came along, it made it easier for people to jump through different areas of the earth... faster than they would normally, and certainly faster than the sun. So that's when, like, time zones were created because of, like, trains and people moving to different parts of the earth where the sun was setting at far different times than when they left. So, again, the market created a solution called time zones for people. Yeah.
There's also a link to the market with trains as well, because if we remember that there was different gauges in the US of, like... the tracks were different gauges because different people owned different parts of the railway. And then, I don't know time specifics, but basically the major railway owners got together and decided to all go to the same gauge so their trains could run with no problem all the way across the country.
Yay!
And there's another example. Yeah, free market. You
markets.
Know, people say, who's going to do this and that? People will figure it out. They'll just get together and they'll say, look, let's sort it. And yep. It'll happen.
But don't ask simple. Matthew Bellamy of Muse. He doesn't understand. He's a left-leaning libertarian. And
it's always a confusing term to me.
Yeah, it is a confusing term. Why?
I don't know, because when I think of libertarianism, one of the main, if I had to make libertarianism, like, you know, make it as quick and short as possible, you know, you would say non-aggression principle and property rights, you know, and a lot of people who seem to call themselves left libertarians, they don't seem to, a lot of them don't seem to believe in, you know, private property, and that just confuses me a little bit.
Yeah, but so in theory, it seems like they don't, but in practice, it seems like they do. And I'll explain. When I was at the Liberty Forum here in New Hampshire, there's a subgroup of left-leaning libertarians who have their own convention within a convention. It's called the Alt Expo, as in alternative. And so the Alt Expo features a whole different list of panels and speakers, and they tend to focus more on left libertarian ideas. And one of the things that they were doing is they were selling food, they were selling books, selling pamphlets, selling T-shirts and buttons. And I'm like, okay, so here's your like theory of, oh, we're just going to exchange value for value. But then they're justifying it being like, yeah, well, we live in a capitalist economy today, and we just have to sort of work within the system, man. Like, I don't know. It sounds like the libertarians are anarchists who do political things, and people are like, what are you doing working with politicians, begging for more freedom from these tyrants? And then it's like, well, hey man, we live in a political system, and so we sort of have to work with these people. Does that make sense? So they have their theory, but it doesn't really mix with today.
Yeah, it makes sense to you. It's interesting, again, what you say about working with what we've got, because you can kind of turn this around a few ways, because you could say, well, you know, the Communist Manifesto is freely available in any high street bookshop. You know, you can walk in and buy it, you know. So, or, you know, capitalism, basically. Or, you know, why are Rage Against the Machine, who are a decent band, but very, very socialist, why are they on a major record label? But then you could also turn that around and say, well, my, you know, you or I use the government roads, you know, because maybe that's all we've got to get our message out there.
Or the FCC regulated airwaves.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So you could think, well, is that the only way to get our message out there? You know, like using what we've got.
Well, you want to be as consistent as possible, I think, in living your ideas and living your principles. And, you know, these left libertarians really don't bother me, whereas they used to, because I was like, but definitionally, how could you be communist and anarchistic if, you know, you believe in no property rights or everyone sharing with each other? And anyway, what I've seen is there are a few examples of left libertarians who have produced some amazing content within the realm of their principles. And here's one. There's something called Open Garden, which is an app developed by a left libertarian who the app allows any person to download it completely free. I think it's in the Android and the iPhone app marketplaces. And it allows you to share your Wi-Fi connection with anyone. So say you've got an internet connection on your phone and you want to share it with your friend. You can open up Open Garden. Your friend opens up Open Garden. And then you can just share your internet connection with them. Now, this doesn't just work person to person, like one-on-one. You can have a whole network of people all sharing their internet together. And then you could have a really strong network of people sharing internet. It's completely voluntary. No one, of course, there are property rights involved in the sense that one person has to acquire, like justly acquire the internet access in the first place. But after that, it's up to them to determine if they want to share it or not. And it's up to the users to determine whether or not they want to give back. And it seems to work. It's all free. And it meets the principles of anarcho-communism or left libertarianism. So, you know, credit where credit's due. It seems like it could work.
Yeah, and it's interesting, but like, in terms of like, if you, I mean, there is those little things like that which sound good, and they are good in themselves. They're like, that sounds quite interesting. I did not know about that. But then, like, there's, for example, Murray Rothbard wrote an article called "The Death Wish of the Anarcho-Communists," and he basically, from drawing on von Mises' work, showed how they would eventually, and the kind of world, the industrialized world we live in, starve basically because it just wouldn't work.
They might starve. I hope not. I hope we can work together.
That's Murray, it's Murray Rothbard. That's, it's not me.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
We're talking smack about those other libertarians. But don't worry, we're helping them. We're going to help them improve their quality with the amazing quality that we're using tonight, Fiendphone. Fiendphone.com is where you can go get that free program if you want to sound lovely like us. Hey, so I want to know more about you, Dan. We can always talk about politicians and how square they are and why everyone else is wrong and why we're right. But I want to know about you, like as a person. How old are you?
I'm 28.
Are you a nail biter? Do you bite your nails?
I do. Yeah. I really do.
Do you regret that habit?
No, not at all. I'll tell you why. Can I tell you why? I get told by a girl I was going out with one time that she found it sexy because she found men with nails that were a bit too prissy, not so attractive and rugged. So I was, and that was one girl's opinion, not my current wife, but that's why.
How many girls did you date before you got married?
Not that many, only about four.
And how long have you been married?
Not too many. Since 2008, me and Katie got married. We met in school, Katie and I, and we were friends for years. And she moved to Sri Lanka for a bit, and when she came back, we got together. And then a few years later, we got married, and we've been happy ever since.
Were you married, or were you worried she was going to find someone in Sri Lanka?
Well, we hadn't been going out before then, but we had a kind of attraction on both parts, but I knew the Sri Lanka thing was temporary. I knew she wouldn't stay there forever because there's too many big bugs there, and Katie's not.
Wow! And so you two do a podcast together now. Your podcast, Greening Out.
Yeah, the Greening Out podcast. Yeah, we do some together, just the two of us, me and Katie talking, and then we do interviews as well where we have someone else on.
You're so lucky that you get to do a cool thing with your wife like that, like that you're both interested in making a podcast together. That's so rare.
Yeah, we're very, very aware of that because I know a lot of people and they have a real passion for something. Like a friend of mine at work, you know, he's a football coach and soccer, as you would call it there. And that's what he really loves. But it takes him away from his wife and his little girl, you know, because he'll be working and then he'll need to go and do some coaching, you know, and he does coach part time for a really big, well, there used to be a big football team in this country. I'm not going to say who. But they used to at one point. So that takes him away. But the cool thing about being Katie's interest is because we have the same interests. Like today, for example, we're doing a couple of shows about Alice in Wonderland because Katie collects them. She's got really old ones going back to the 19-teens. So today, me and Katie, for example, we spent the whole day reading Alice in Wonderland, making notes and doing a bit of recording, you know, about some of the major themes and stuff. So it kind of since we started podcasting, it brought us closer together. I know I sound all kind of cheesy and corny, but it's true. It has brought us closer together because now we'll spend a lot more time because we have this shared interest. So we are lucky in that respect.
That is totally cheesy, and I'm eating it right up because I love these kinds of stories. Like, how did you know that she was the one? How did you know you wanted to ask her to marry you?
Oh, God. I don't know. It was just, I don't really know. You know, it's like, do you know what? I'll tell you a secret, though. I'm not actually, we've never mentioned this on the air ever, but the song at the end of our show is from, I was recording music and I was playing with a band at the time that Katie was in Sri Lanka, and that little bit at the end of all our podcasts, our more recent ones, is a guitar solo from a song I wrote called Welcome Home, Kate, and it was for Katie. I know that's a bad title, right? But it was a good song, actually. It was a good song. Bad title, but it was a good song. But that's what that guitar solo was from, so we always put that on at the end. But I don't know, Katie knew, she says she knew from when we were teenagers that we would get married, and I actually believe her because I've had that confirmed by other parties who were friends of ours at the time. She always seemed to know, but she always makes the joke that it took me a lot longer to come round and I had to sort of get the other girls out of my system first, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah, well, it was one of those destiny things. It seems, if everyone seemed to know it, the writing was on the wall. So it sounds like you spend a lot of time together. You produce a podcast, you are reading Alice in Wonderland and producing art and stuff. Presumably you live together. So how do you get away from each other?
We make music together as well. That's the other thing, we started making music together. But we actually don't like to get away from each other that much. You know, we do other things, but we just love hanging out together, man.
Are you like one of those couples where it's like, the two of them are always going to be together? When you fight the one, you're getting both.
That's kind of.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
For some reason in this country, and in a bunch of Western world, it's okay to just judge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created FiendPhone. I'm using FiendPhone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's FiendPhone.com, FiendPhone.com, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Phone.com.
FiendPhone, I never knew remote audio could be this good.
Real. Welcome back. This is Freedom Fiends. We're doing a bit of meow therapy. It makes me feel good, and I hope it does the same for you. We were just talking about Mother Goose and nursery rhymes and how nursery rhymes and fairy tales incorporate a little bit of individualism and anarchism inside them. Maybe we'll get to that coming up. But, Dan, we in the last segment, we were talking a little bit about you personally. I've got a few more questions. But first, we teased this, and we never got to it, of Muse lyrics. Do you want to hear some Muse lyrics, and we can determine how left libertarian is this guy?
Okay, now we're going to play How Left Libertarian is This Guy. Yeah.
So here's some of the lyrics. This song is called Uprising from the album The Resistance.
I like that.
The paranoia is in bloom. The PR transmissions will resume. They'll try to push drugs, keep us all dumbed down, and hope that we'll never see the truth around. So come on, another promise, another scene, another package lie to keep us trapped in greed. With all the green belts wrapped around our minds and endless red tape to keep the truth confined. So come on, they will not force us. They will stop degrading us. They will not control us. We will be victorious. So that's just the beginning of the song Uprising. What do you think about those lyrics so far?
Well read, sir. It sounds very libertarian-y, doesn't it? It sounds kind of very freedom-orientated, you know, but then a lot of things can sound freedom-orientated and kind of not be, you know, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do know what you mean. Like, it sounds good, but where are their principles, right? They're just sort of like, it's not very original to be like, hey, they're mind controlling us and they're influencing, they're greedy. Greed is good. Yeah. Gordon Gekko said it. And who was it? Milton Friedman, who's not perfect, but he did a great explanation of, you know, everyone's greedy. And that's just something to deal with. Just abandoning it doesn't make a whole lot of sense when it's such a terrific incentive for producing things.
Was it not the old Adam Smith thing as well that was the, you know, the baker doesn't bake the bread because of his benevolence, you know, he bakes it because there's a financial incentive behind it, you know. It's not because he's really, really wants to make a lot of bread.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It would be crazy to make that much bread if you just wanted to share some with your friends and neighbors. But yeah, specialization and all of these things, they make sense. And greed is good. So anyway, yeah, he's not perfect. Here's some more lyrics. Interchanging mind control, come let the revolution take its toll. If you could flick a switch and open your third eye, you'd see that we'd never be afraid to die. I don't know what that
means. Right away, man, you've got this sort of, the word revolution sort of brings up all different red flags for me all over the place when I hear it. But then he said third eye, so then you're putting a revolutionary component in with a spiritual component sort of straight away, because the third eye is a sort of, for anyone who doesn't know, it's a sort of, well, it can be interpreted different ways, but it's often considered like your sort of mind opening up, your sort of an enlightenment sort of thing. You're seeing, you're understanding your consciousness properly. But it's interesting that he puts them both in the one thing. But it's back to the revolution thing. As soon as I hear the word revolution, I mean, not only thinking back to what revolutions have taken place, but if you also think about Russell Brand, because, you know, he's talking about revolution all the time now. I'm sure you've heard of Russell Brand. I'm sure he's infected your media as well.
Yeah, I'm spitting because I hate him.
Oh, filth.
I'm sorry, he's sexy, and I'll give him that. Very
he's
attractive
a good-looking man, and he's very well put together. I mean, he dresses well.
And that'll fool a lot of people into thinking you know what you're talking about if you're handsome and you're well-spoken.
It's shocking that
enough.
Yeah, shocking, but it's shocking but true. You're absolutely right. Yeah, he has that kind of package, doesn't he? You're absolutely right.
Yeah, he's just handsome and well spoken, but he has no idea what he's talking about. He makes no sense. Has no grounding in philosophy at all, which is fine.
Not
That's
at all.
Great. He's a comedian, and I'll let him have that. He's funny and entertaining, and he should just stick to that. The whole revolution stuff, not so much. And revolutions. Mm. While we're on the topic. That put such a nasty taste in my mouth just hearing that word, because I am for evolution. Revolutions to me, I don't know, I had it described, I think it's been described this way by lots of different people, but revolutions are like a circle, right? They go around and around and around again, and they revolve.
Oh, man.
And evolutions break free of that circle. What were you about to say?
That's so funny you say that, because we did a show with Bill Buford, actually, Katie and I, on revolution, and Katie brought up the fact that what does the word revolution mean? It means just to go around and around, and it's so funny you bring that up, because, we were talking about the exact same thing.
Yeah, what we need, no, revolutions haven't produced more freedom, in my experience, you know, they just, they repeat the cycle, so... Instead of revolution, what I'd like to see is a peaceful evolution where people just step aside, you know, like the musicians that you talked about making jokes of the politicians and running for political office and making fun of the whole idea of having these political masters. That is a peaceful evolution that I can get behind. And people using free software like FiendPhone to communicate. Instead of government phone or whatever, you know. So here's some more lyrics. I like your analysis of them. Rise up and take the power back. It's time that the fat cats had a heart attack. You know that their time is coming to an end. We have to unify and watch our flag ascend.
Oh, my. Oh, my. That sounds very communist, doesn't it? Because you've got the fat cats in there, and that's usually a reference to sort of capitalists, you know. Whereas maybe you and I, Derek, you know, we would consider maybe what they would call fat cats, and they would link to capitalists. We would maybe, don't want to speak for both of us, but I'll suggest we would call them corporatists and not capitalists. Yeah, so, but like, it sounds like that sounded, and then raise our flag and all that, and you know, that sounded very sort of quite communist-y. It sounded quite sort of communist propaganda a little bit, if you know what I mean. It sounded very sort of, yeah, it was a bit too close to that for me. And then when I hear stuff like fat cats, I think I hate when people conflate sort of capitalism, you know, as you and I would understand it, you know, as people who, you know, would talk about free market capitalism, people conflate it with this corporatism that It's the same in this country and as it is in yours. You know, it's the exact same government picks winners and losers nonsense, you know, and I just hate when people do that. And every time I hear fat cats, I think that's what people are thinking in their mind, you know?
Yeah, I'm also noticing how collectivist this language is. It's we have to unify and watch our flag mm-hmm. ascend.
Flag puts up red flags. That's funny. Yeah. I hear flag and it puts up more flags for me.
It does. Well, so rise up and take the power back. It brings imagery of me for me to of like the Ferguson riots or people at the Occupy Wall Street riots all over the country where they were using shields to fight against the police and just using like physical conflict, whereas there are things that are just as revolutionary that produce more freedom in the world, like Uber or any number of ride sharing services, which are businesses run by individuals, you know, and there's some conflict, but it's not physical conflict. You know, there's conflict in words between bureaucrats and legislators and business people. But, like, that's taking the power back, in my view. Like, using alternative methods of achieving what you want to achieve. Transportation, don't rely on the government, public transportation, or the government-run taxi services. Instead, opt for an independent agorist cab or an Uber cab or a rideshare, whatever. Or don't rely on the government technology, rely on independent technology. Or, you know, whatever. You can sidestep these things instead of having conflict with them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny you mentioned the cab thing, because didn't Walter Block in Defending the Undefendable actually defend, was it the gypsy cab drivers?
Yeah.
and he explained why they were actually, as everyone else, economic heroes. I would recommend that book to anybody.
You know, I forgot to ask you, it seems like you're safe, but have you been contacted by the government?
Not today.
Not today. All right. Not this week?
But not this week, no. Not yet.
Okay, good.
I think they will be. They'll be looking for my council tax very soon. We try and put off paying it. It's like our local sort of, our local city council. You know, we try and put off paying it as long as possible and try and get around it as much as we can.
What is this tax?
Be in touch. It's called a council tax. It's on, so it's as well as we have... So before I get my wage slip, I have two taxes taken off, national insurance and an income tax. And then on top of that, I have to pay a council tax, which is a tax that's for my, basically it's the city council, you know, and it's supposed to be for things like water and rubbish collection and maintenance of roads and that kind of thing, you know, so we'll have to pay that as well. So they will be contacting me about this very soon, probably.
Yikes. Yeah, I don't do that.
Does that seem crazy to you? Like, does that seem like so much tax to you? Because that's just normal here. Like, are you a bit shocked by that?
No, I'm not shocked by any taxes anymore. The fact that many people in the U.S. pay over 50% of their income in taxes, like all told, it's... Almost nothing can shock me. If more than half of a person's income is going to the government, like at what point do they consider that to be slavery? If, you know, 50%, 80%, 90%, like what point are they going to be like, hey, wait a minute, don't I get to keep any of this for myself? And that's why I don't pay taxes.
I'm just... Oh, man. Dude, lucky you, man.
There's no luck.
I envy you, Dedek.
There's no luck that has anything to do with it. It's a choice I made. And unfortunately, it might be a bad one because now I might not be able to get a passport.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
All right, well, we're going to have to bring this date to an end, Dan.
We are.
It's been a lovely date with you.
I hope I get a second.
Yeah, was it good for you?
It was good for me, Derek, yes.
Was it all good right, for you? good. It was good for me, too. And I wanted to... We got to wrap up. This is called Redemption in the Third Act. And that's where we recap things we talked about and leave you, the listener, feeling relaxed and happy and knowing that freedom is achievable in tiny, yes, incremental baby steps every day.
Derek, could we say if you put us on in the corner of the room, we're almost like a freedom-scented candle that will just fill your day?
You know, yes.
Fill the entire room with freedom-filled thoughts.
We are a freedom-scented candle that will be knocked over and destroy your house.
Oh, come on. Don't go there.
Sorry. No, that's a lovely analogy. I like it. I just took it too far.
Thank you.
So your blog, yeah, you're at greeningoutpodcast.co.uk.
Yeah, or .com will take you to the same place.
Oh, really? Yeah. What am I doing? All the .co.uk stuff.
Yeah, we bought the .com too, you know. We thought, why not? We'll just make sure.
Fat cats. Capitalists.
We are fat cats. We're dirty capitalists.
Yeah. And attackthesystem.com, you also blog there.
Yeah, we blog there too, yeah.
So,
it's a great site, man.
Yeah, a couple of the headlines that I'm seeing over there.
MK Lords, she blogs there too.
Oh, really? Cool. Yeah, MK Lords is rad.
Too, yeah. Yeah. Another freedom fiend?
Yes, she is a fiend. And so we talked about also Matthew Bellamy, who is allegedly a libertarian, claims to be left-leaning, and when I hear that, I, like you, Dan, think that means handsy, like he's getting his hands all over the controls. He wants to control people a little bit.
Yeah,
I'm sure he means well, but
I know,
you know, people get confused about property and who really owns it.
I agree with you on that, man. I think so. It's just, once we get into this kind of left talk, you know, it's just, like I said, I mean, if you're making libertarianism, summing libertarianism up for me in 2 points, what real libertarianism is, property rights has to be one of them. It just has to be, you know, and it's just, private property is such an obvious thing. It's an obviously good thing. I don't understand why some people have to struggle with it.
Well, I don't know. You own yourself. And that's pretty hard to contest, because if you are saying you don't own yourself...
Who does?
How do you say that except by exercising authority over your own lips and mouth or hands if you're writing it or signing it? I mean, like,
yeah,
you know, just the form of making the argument, I don't own myself, requires you to own yourself. So it's a silly argument.
Yeah.
Of course, absolutely, property rights exist. They are an extension of you owning yourself. So speaking of owners, who owns you? Is it David Cameron over there in Scotland? who's the owner over there?
Well, David Cameron is the Prime Minister, but the First Minister of Scotland is Nicola Sturgeon. I think a sturgeon is a type of fish also.
Yeah.
But I'm not too sure. But like, basically, so there's some laws that are made by the devolved Scottish Parliament, certain laws, but then the big stuff, like, for example, all the stuff like foreign policy and that's all in London, that's all still decided there in that parliament. So that's what the whole Scottish independence thing's about, but we could do about 50 million shows in the Scottish independence referendum.
Well, so I'm interested to hear about that, but more precisely, I want your advice as someone who's sort of an insider in this regard. See, I'm in the dating scene, and I'm dating this guy who claims to be a freedom-loving monarchist. And he supports the king and queen.
What?
Yeah, blew my mind too.
How?
What do I say to
these
him?
Theories, but
how do I change his
how?
Mind?
Monarchy, they're the biggest welfare queens that there are. You know what I mean? We were talking about MK Lord. She wrote Libertarian Welfare Queens. The biggest welfare queen is the queen, funnily enough, here, because she lives off my tax money.
Glad I don't have anything like that, like Mr. Obama, who's a socialist, a liar, and his feet stink. Well, I hope
I have to watch her.
I hope we've calmed the hamster in your brain tonight. It's been a lovely date with you tonight, Dan. And I hope
Thank
I get to
you.
Meet
it's
the lovely Kate as well.
Oh, I hope so. No, I'm sure you will at some point.
Worms.